second one is. Good evening. I want to welcome you all along to the prayer meeting tonight. It's good to be able to be with you, be able to help out, even as our brother is over serving the Lord, as you know, in Uganda at this time. So let us please open our meeting with the singing of the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer that calls me from a world of care. We'll stand together as we sing. And let us please unite our hearts together in prayer at this time. Let us seek the one. May we even pray that we will indeed have a sweet hour of prayer together this evening. And that most of all, our Lord will be uplifted and glorified, even through the preaching and even in approaching his throne of grace. Let us pray. Our loving God and our glorious Father in heaven, we ask thee, Lord, tonight to touch our hearts. We ask thee, Lord, to convict us and challenge us. Oh Lord, we've sung this wonderful hymn that does speak of that sweet hour of prayer, of the peace, of the joy, of the excitement, the anticipation to be in the place of prayer. Yet, Lord, if we were to stop and truly examine our lives, how, Lord, we maybe all of us, to some degree or another, has to confess that there's been many a time where there's been anything but the sweet time of prayer. That, Lord, there's been many a thing which would easily turn us away from the prayer meeting. There's many a distraction, Lord. There's many a care, Lord, that we would worry about more than being in the place of prayer. And Lord, prayer, it is a duty more than a delight. But Lord, I pray, even as we would consider these lovely words that we've sung together tonight, that, Lord, thou would restore unto us the love for the place of prayer. That, Lord, that thou would give us hearts of prayer. That thou would give us praying spirits. Oh, Lord, that thy spirit would move in our lives. And, Lord, we'd be a changed people in that way. That, Lord, we would be those who would be found in the place of prayer. That we would be those who would pray without ceasing. That, Lord, we would have those just that burden to pray. That, Lord, we would see the great need around us. We would see, Lord, the sin abounding. We would see the darkness rising. That, Lord, that we would see, therefore, our need to be on our knees in prayer. That, Lord, we would believe that we have a God tonight who hears and answers prayer. Oh, Lord, even as this hymn reminds us of, we have a God who bids us to come and pray. And Lord, we have a God who invites us to approach right on to his throne. And, oh, Lord, we rejoice that there is that welcome. That, Lord, we can approach boldly onto thy throne of grace. And that tonight, Lord, we can find help in our time of need. Oh, Lord, we are a needy people. The fact, Lord, that we pray is a simple testimony of that fact. We pray because, Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. It is thee, Lord, that is sovereign. It is thee, the Lord, is in control. And, Lord, may we by prayer move the God who is in control. Move his arm. Oh, Lord, what a thing we cannot truly comprehend. The almighty sovereignty of God. And yet, Lord, how we can pray. And, Lord, how it does indeed move thy hand. Oh, Lord, we ask thee to just give us faith. Oh, Lord, to accept the things that we cannot understand. And, Lord, to believe the things which thou hast told us. We thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, of thy revelation of thyself in it. We pray, Lord, tonight as we would open it and read it together. That, Lord, thou would reveal thyself to us. That, Lord, thou would reveal thy message to our hearts. And Lord, that we would go out of this place a changed people. That, Lord, even before we would leave, it would help us to pray. That, Lord, we would pray with that leading of the Spirit. Not praying to be heard of man. Not praying, Lord, worrying about man. But, Lord, approaching on to our God to find help indeed in our time of need. Oh, be with us, Lord, this evening as we continue on now in thy presence. I thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity to meet here with brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank thee, Lord, even for the labors of our brother who, Lord, is not here this evening. And, Lord, I thank thee that thou art with him, blessing him and using him. And, Lord, I pray that thou would give him grace, even, Lord, in the days ahead. And, Lord, even as he would return here to this pulpit, pray, Lord, bless him. Bless his dear wife, bless the entire family circle, Lord, even at this time, Lord, and even in this good news, even this day, oh Lord, we pray, bless them, undertake for them all. Lord, bless this entire church family, and do us good as we meet in thy presence this night. We ask all of these things in our Savior's precious name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing our second hymn together now. Brother will get us up for us here. M557, when you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations, trouble abound. Nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad, all is despairing, even time sad. And then that, as the chorus tells us, it is then we need to keep believing that our Savior indeed is near. Let us stand together again after the introduction, please. Stand together, please. Sing these hymns together. I'm going to ask you this evening to turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 12, to a familiar portion of Scripture. I want us to consider together tonight. Nothing too complicated, I trust. Trust even a simple message that the Lord will be pleased to bless and undertake for us this evening. Acts chapter 12, and we're going to read the first 11 verses together. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 11, we read, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days off unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartinions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless this reading of his precious word this evening. Before we come to consider it, let us just bow our heads once more in the attitude of prayer. Our loving God, we thank thee for this open book before us. Help us, Lord, to love, treasure our Bibles. Lord, may we treasure the messages, Lord, the wonders, the great accounts that it contains. But Lord, may we see it as even more than that. May we see it, Lord, as thy word does tell it, that Lord, it is given by inspiration of thee, it is breathed by thee, it is thy word to us. Lord, may we pray that we would hear thee, therefore, thy voice this night. O Lord, fill me with thy spirit, that thou may use me this night. That Lord, thou would use this preacher. And Lord, that thou would take that live coal from off the altar, touch my lips. And Lord, may I simply be thy messenger with thy message this night. O be with us now. Bless each and every one of us, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and glorious name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, I want us to consider as our subject a but prayer attitude. Having a but prayer attitude. Now, that may sound strange, but I want to try and explain what I mean. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you believed all hope was gone. Some dark situation where you could see no way out. A situation where you've all but resigned to the fact that what you have feared is certainly going to come to pass. I think each and every one of us in some way or another have stood face to face with such situations. Yet, can we not also testify that in many of these situations, at many of these times when we think all hope is gone, that there is no hope, that it's time to just to give in and give up. That in so many of those circumstances, almost in an instant, in a clicking of a finger nearly, there seems to be a change. And the dark clouds give way to light. What is it that brings about such change? Oh, I believe that in these instances we can see it is indeed God's answer to prayer. When the darkness comes, we pray. And then the light comes, we can often forget and we go on about our business. We forget to consider it is God who has done this. He has answered our prayers, or he's answered another's prayer for us. Oh, we can all have times in our lives when things seem hopeless. Like that hymn that we've signed just there together. When you feel weakest, dangers around, subtle temptations, troubles abound. Nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad. All is despairing, everything sad. That is a very, if you want to call it, a very doom and gloom verse, is it not? That our lives can be in such a state as that. Yet if the truth be told, it is often where we do find ourselves. We all have been there. And if we haven't been there, there will be, without the discouraging, there will be times when you will be there. But yet we can say, when we have faced that, prayer. And of course the Lord himself, through prayer, has brought us through. Oh, where would any of us be tonight, brothers and sisters, if it was not for prayer? And tonight, in this time we have around God's Word, I want us to consider a verse that we all know very well that reminds us of this very truth. That through prayer, the worst of situations can be resolved, if it is the Lord's will. Look with me, please, at Acts 12, verse 5. We read there, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I love that little expression, just two words in length, found there in the middle of the verse. Two words which changes everything in this story, in this account. Those two words being, but prayer. Peter was in prison. That's what the opening of the verse tells us. He finds himself for a short reprieve. It's the days of unleavened bread. But when those days are passed, he is going to be sentenced to death. We see back in verse 2 that James, the brother of John, had been killed. And then as we read on, we see that it was Herod's intention to do the very same thing to Peter. He saw how it pleased the people, and he was going to do the same unto him. So here is Peter. He's in prison, and when the days of unleavened bread are past, he's going to be executed. Here is a man, as we could say, in human terms, in an impossible situation. But you see, things were going to change. And that change begins with those two words. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer. Or in other words, he was in prison, but something was going to change it all. And what was going to change it was prayer, but prayer. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Oh, these two words, but prayer, they join the beginning, the hopeless situation, and the end of the verse, which is the commencement of the answer to this prayer. It gives us tonight the very fact that prayer changes things. Now, I wholeheartedly believe in the sovereignty of God. God indeed is sovereign. And we sometimes when you say prayer changes things, you will get those who say, no, God is sovereign. We won't change God's sovereign. Well, and that is true. But we can't. There's still a responsibility for us to pray, and we can move that arm of God. Yes, I can't fully express how that is. None of us can truly comprehend it. The sovereign God, yet how prayer does indeed change things. Prayer. Well, this little expression, but prayer, as we would consider it, it reminds me, and it will remind you tonight, of this very truth, prayer changes things. This is exactly what is happening here. A hopeless situation. Peter was in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That is how we ought to pray. To have this prayer, this attitude that prayer does indeed change things. To have this, what I call, as using those two words, a but prayer attitude. Oh, somebody complains, they tell you, I'm in a hopeless state, there's nothing I can do, all hope is gone. That is when we must say, no, there's prayer. Prayer can change it. All other hope may be gone, but there's prayer. Peter was in prison, seemingly destined for death. But we will see tonight, and of course, as we know the story, prayer changed all that. We all of us, as we've noted, have difficult times in our lives. But prayer brings us through. Well, it's one thing for us to say that. It's one thing for us tonight to say prayer changes things. It's one thing to say it, but are we going to really put that belief and that attitude into practice? Are we going to really live this? Oh, it's one thing to say it, but are we actually going to pray like we believe it? You see, if we're to have this attitude, believing that indeed there is such power in prayer this evening, I want us to consider this account before us, and really this verse in particular, and we can see from this verse that it not only reminds us the fact does change, that prayer does change things, I believe this verse gives us great and important lessons concerning how such a belief will be manifested in our prayers. That is, if we truly believe that prayer changes things, how that will be manifested as we as individuals and we as a body of believers, how we pray. Therefore, with that being said, the first thing I want us to see tonight, and looking at this verse, is the passion. the passion of prayer. There's a passion. The one who truly believes that prayer changes things, that God will change our circumstances, can change the worst of our circumstances in His will. Such a one who truly believes that, there will be a passion in their praying. Look again at verse 5. We read, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. There's that little expression there in the verse which says, prayer was made without ceasing. See, here we are told that it is this type of prayer that has this power with God. Now, as we think of praying without ceasing, as we will consider that word ceasing, we would tend to think about duration. That here's people who are praying for a long duration, are praying without ceasing. And yes, of course, that is there, but there's more to that word than that. The sense here in this expression is every bit as much intensity as it is duration. Here was a people in this verse. They were praying for the safe release of Peter. You see, this was a time-sensitive situation. They didn't have long, as it were, to pray for it. While he was in prison, he was safe. We note that already. But we see, as we noted from verse 4, there was coming a time when he was going to be released from prison, but he wasn't going to be set free. He was going to be brought forth to be judged, and that judgment would be death. And therefore, because death, it was a life and death situation, literally. And because of that, prayer was made without ceasing. Because very soon, he was going to be led out, he was going to die the martyr's death. The people prayed with urgency and intensity that this would not be so. And it is such prayer that moves the hand of God. Can prayer change things? Absolutely. This little phrase, but prayer, reminds us that it is so. But we must be clear, it is not simply saying prayers. There's one thing to say prayers, it's another thing to pray. You see, it is only those prayers that are prayed with urgency, intensity, or as I've titled this point, prayers of passion. And there's even indeed another scriptural word we could use, the word fervency. We see that from that great verse in Scripture, James 5:16, that it is a prayer, a fervent prayer, that indeed has power with God. That verse which says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Whatever you want to call it tonight, be it praying without ceasing, urgency, intensity, fervency, or even passion, however we would describe it, this is how we must pray. Now, I must stress that this is not something that we can simply manufacture. It's not about shouting louder than everybody else. It's not about clapping our hands harder and thumping. It's not about manufactured emotions and any of those things. This type of prayer, it's not something that we can manufacture in ourselves. We cannot manufacture it. Well, you see, these people in our text prayed with urgency. For one simple reason, they recognized the urgency of the situation. They saw the need. And because they saw the greatness of the need, there was therefore in them a burden, a spirit of how they needed to pray. Oh, they were not forced to pray. They did not manufacture their attitude in prayer, but seeing the situation and believing in the power of prayer, they prayed with an undaunted passion. Know that we would pray that we would have that same passion, that we'd pray for the Spirit to move in our hearts, to soften our hardened hearts. We have been meeting together this week in Kurigari to pray. Our brother last night, we've been taking it in turns. I did the first night, and the elders are doing the other nights. And he brought us to that portion in 1 Samuel and Hannah and her crying, and how she wept sore. Oh, she wept sore. How often do we weep when we pray? Again, it's not something that we manufacture, but it shows us that our hearts are hard. Why is our heart so hard? We have loved ones who are going down into hell. We've a country in chaos of sin. Where is our heart? Why are we not weeping over our country, weeping over our loved ones? Well, it is such a prayer that gets through to God. And may we pray that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes to the need around us, as the Lord would show us the need, that we would be burdened for that need. And we would pray as we need to pray. As I say, be it a loved one's salvation, be it out of a concern for complacency amongst ourselves and our churches, be it a burden for our children, or even some struggle in our lives. Oh, that we may make prayer without ceasing, make these issues a reason to pray without ceasing, and that we would see the Lord move in answer to these prayers. Oh, the difficulty and the discouragement may be great, but may we see that through prayer without ceasing changes things. Oh, Peter was in prison, but prayer without ceasing was made. Oh, here we have considered the passion of prayer. See with me secondly this evening, the people of prayer. There was the passion of the praying, but consider the people of prayer. Again, look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Oh, our text we've seen, it says prayer was made. But who was it that prayed? Who was it that prayed for the safe release of Peter? Does verse 5 or anywhere else in these verses give us a great list of the important sounding names? Are we given a list of any names at all? No, our text simply and collectively says the church prayed. Oh yes, God hears the prayer of the individual, but the prayer here that moved the hand of God and the saving of Peter was the collective prayer of the church, the body of believers. Oh, I firmly believe if we are to see things change for the better in this world, in this land, and even south of the border with myself, it is essential that the church prays. If we who identify as the church really have this but prayer attitude, a belief in the power of prayer, we need to see it as our duty, see it as our delight to pray together. We, the church, cannot neglect our duty of prayer. Oh, how easy it is to do it. I fully accept it is very easy for us to become complacent, and it's very easy for every one of us to neglect the place of prayer. We can make excuses. We can all make excuses. Well, apart from the preacher, he really can't make that many excuses. He has to come. He's the servant to preach. But I'd say if he could, he's no better than anyone of us. We all can make excuses. We always make excuses why we won't go to the prayer meeting on the Wednesday night or whatever other night it would be on. I had this conversation not that long ago with the elders in Kurigaria. We had a session meeting, and after the meeting, we just had a time of prayer together, and we were just talking about the worrying signs there is in our churches of people not coming out to the house of God, and even consider the prayer meeting and the declining numbers in the places of prayer. As we had that conversation, it really came up in that conversation that we all agreed that if we wanted to, each and every one of us, well, each and every one of them, could make an excuse for not being in the place of prayer each and every week. If they wanted to, they could find an excuse. And no doubt it is the same with you. If you wanted to, every Wednesday evening, you could find an excuse for not coming out to the house of God to pray. Now, I say that of you because I can first say it of myself. I shamefully remember a time in my life that the prayer meeting was often neglected. But of course, every week I would have neglected the prayer time. I always had a good reason for not being there. We all can have a good reason to neglect prayer, can't we? We're looking at this expression, but prayer. How this the word but reminds us that there can be a change. It is this break here in this verse that shows us that there was a great change. But prayer, it reminds us that God, through prayer, will change things. However, often when it comes to prayer, the but in our lives can be the but of excuse instead of the but of belief. Oh, I know it's the prayer meeting night, but this or but the other. Oh, I know you're all here tonight, and I rejoice in seeing so many here, but let us be very careful that we do not become complacent in the weeks ahead. Oh, one prayer meeting can be missed, and then another, and then another. Oh, let us not neglect the place of prayer. We cannot. These people weren't going to neglect it. They saw the need. There was no excuses were going to be made. So, I couldn't come to pray for Peter or this or the other thing. These people saw the need and they were there to pray. And may we do the same. See the need and therefore see the reason to be here week in, week out to pray. Oh, if we really believe in the power of prayer, we will not neglect the place of prayer. Oh, what power is at our disposal? Yet how it is neglected by so many of us. All of us at times. And as we look at this verse before us, as we see these people, the church, praying for them, they didn't neglect their duty. Now we must remember the circumstance that we find them, these believers find themselves in. These people met together to pray at the risk of their lives. We have to realize that tonight. This was a time of great persecution for the church. This is the very point we're seeing here tonight. James, the brother of John, has just been killed. Peter's next in the sights of Herod. The believers were being hunted and they were being killed. And yet here was this peace, Christians, in the time of this persecution, and that if they were caught, they could be killed. Yet these people were still gathering together to pray. Now it is argued by many that when it speaks here of the church gathering together to pray, it wasn't like this meeting here tonight. That we were able to, as they come freely together, all in one place. But because of persecution, there was gatherings of believers here, there, and everywhere, coming together in secret to pray. They made the effort. They risked their lives to pray. Oh, what danger there was for them. Yet they, the church, not only believed in the power of prayer, but we can clearly therefore grasp that they also believed in the necessity of prayer. Oh, they did not use the danger that they were in as an excuse to not pray, to not be found there. John Calvin, the great reformer, he said this, speaking about this portion before us, he said, Luke teaches here that the faithful did not in the mean season neglect their duty. Peter stood in the forward alone, but all the rest fought with their prayers together with him, and they aided him so much as they were able. Now, that's a wonderful, it may not be the catchiest of quotes, but it is a wonderful statement. Yes, there was Peter. He was at the forward. He was the front line of the battle. There he was in the prison cell, ready and nearing the martyr's death. The rest of the church, they were not there with him, yet they were going to play their part. If they couldn't replace him in the cell, they were going to pray him out of his. Oh, what a wonderful lesson it is for all of us. We think of our missionaries across the world. Oh, we maybe can't go to be there with them and face the battles that they're having to face, but surely we can pray for them. We can pray for our ministers. We can pray for the Lord's work, be it in the children's meeting, be it in any of the works of the advancement of the gospel. There's something we can do. Never consider something else with me as we would consider these people who were praying for them. As we would consider this very fact that we're not told by name who these people are, that they're simply given this collective, this umbrella term as the church. It is a reminder to us tonight that even though we can go without recognition, there is still something we can and ought to do. Now, if there was a survey done on of disgruntled members in the church, no doubt there would be many reasons why believers are disgruntled and disillusioned in their churches today. Now, I believe one of the reasons that people would undoubtedly give is why they are as way disgruntled in their church is that they are being overlooked. They're being overlooked for some position or another. Maybe there's been an election and they didn't get elected, and then they're discouraged and they're disgruntled and so forth. That's just one of many, but it's the same idea, regardless if it's an election or not. People feel undervalued and underused. And because of this, they're disgruntled. Yet you can be very sure that so many of those people who feel undervalued and feel underused in the Lord's work, you can be sure that so many of those people rarely attend the prayer meeting where they actually can do something and do something amazing. Oh, they want the preeminence. They want to be seen. They want to be seen that they're doing this. They want the people to think, look how good they are. But you see, they can do something if they would simply come and pray. And then we have the other people who are polar opposite. Those men and women who are faithful to the church, they don't want position, they don't want prominence. They're happy simply to be found in the house of God with their brothers and sisters. And in their great humility, they don't realize the vital part that they can and do play. They don't realize that even though their presence doesn't bring some fanfare, no, there they are in their place. In the prayer meeting, they don't see that even though there's no, big as I say, song and dance about it, they're in the place which is important. And this is what I want you to see about yourself tonight, brothers and sisters. I don't know you, very many of you, by in first name terms. I know very little about your spiritual lives, many of you. But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are important. You are essential as it comes to this, the great work of the church. Now, I don't say that to try and impress you, but I say this because it is true. We all, as believers, have a vital part to play in the place of prayer. Oh, you may never get a mention. You may never rise to position or prominence in the church, yet you are every bit as a part of this church, and every bit as important. And I trust he would agree with me in saying this: you're every bit as important as this church as your minister, as any of your elders, your deacons, or anybody else in this church. You have a part to play, and you have this part to play in the most amazing thing, which is prayer. Oh, you can pray, brother. You can pray, sister. You know, think about Peter. Think about how the Lord used Peter. In Christian circles, we could say, Peter is a household name. What prominence and position Peter had. Yet those who prayed for his rescue from that prison cell there in this account, they go unnamed. They are simply just one of a number, which is here called the church. These people prayed for his release. He was released, and what did Peter go on to be? Oh, he gets all the mentions. These people never, no, not even named. May we see that as our role. It's not about fame. It's not about recognition. But see that you have a place to play. You never, ever underestimate your place. You, like these people who went unnamed here, you too are part of the church. Oh, how Peter, as I say, will go on to do great things, but only because these unnamed people prayed. It is the prayers of the church that changes things. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. There is the passion of prayer, the people of prayer. See with me finally this evening, before we do get down to prayer ourselves, the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. Now, in our opening point, we have already seen that these people made prayer their priority when they prayed with this urgency, with this fervency and intensity. But really, when I'm speaking now about the priority of prayer, I'm not speaking of that priority itself, how they made it the priority in their lives, but really what they made the priority when they were praying, what it was they were focusing on when they prayed. Again, look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made on without ceasing of the church unto God, and those two last words, for him. For him. There was a particular prayer was being made here. A priority was of their praying was for Peter. And we can surely learn from that this evening. You see, if we approach our problems with this but prayer attitude, that God can indeed change things through prayer. They believe God can answer our specific problems. If we believe that, we need to bring specific concerns to Him in such a specific way as these people seem to do here. Oh, in our text, we see the specific need with Peter and his imprisonment. We also see that they prayed specifically for the specific need. And then if we go to verse 11, we see that specific need was specifically prayed for, was specifically answered. For verse 11, we read, and when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know of surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." They prayed for his release. They prayed for his safekeeping, sparing of death. And not his want was done for him. If we truly believe that God answers prayer, we need to pray specifically. Now, we all can be very guilty of playing it safe in prayer. And I believe that's what it wants. We can pray in a general sense, often instead of praying specifically. Now, there could be many reasons why we do that. One of them, maybe it is a case of laziness. Oh, it takes far less time to pray generally for something than it does to pray specifically. For example, I take myself. It takes a whole lot less time for me to say, "Lord, bless all the families that today in Kurragari." Now, it would take a whole lot longer time for me to remember each family, each individual, and each need specifically in prayer. And therefore, it's the easy, the lazier thing to pray generally instead of specifically. And maybe that is what we're all guilty of. We pray in a general way. We're lazy, maybe, in the place of prayer. But I don't think that's the chief reason why we pray generally. I believe the chief reason we pray generally, even if we don't realize it, I believe we pray in a general sense because if the truth be told, our faith in God hearing and answering our prayers is not as strong as we say it is. You see, in our text, we have a people who truly believed in the power of prayer, and they truly believed that God could step in and change the case of Peter, so they prayed specifically for that. You see, we don't truly believe, and therefore we pray in the general sense, because we're afraid if we pray specifically, that prayer won't be answered. And therefore, we stick to general cliches in our prayers. Instead of praying specifically for the need, truly believing that God will step in and answer to our prayers. Whether we pray specifically. There's another expression that we could learn to pray big. Oh, we limit our God. We limit our prayers. But let us not limit God. Let us pray to a God who is able to do more above all that we could ever ask and think. And pray. Let us learn to pray big. This little expression, but prayer, reminds us that prayer does indeed have power. And why? It's not because of our words. It's not because of anything we are. But may we not miss the mark. See that there's something mystical and special about prayer, our words. There's not. The reason that there's power in prayer tonight, brothers and sisters, is because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is our reason to believe. There is our reason to have faith in prayer tonight. Because of him, his sacrifice, his resurrection, his intercession now as he sits in the throne in heaven. But prayer, it's not a positive attitude. It's not us simply believing, yes, God can do great things. No, it is based on the reality that Christ ever liveth. He has died for us, and he now lives for us. In such a reality, we can pray with passion. We can be a people together, praying together, and pray with a purpose for the specific needs that we face. Now, don't worry if you can't pray like somebody else. Don't worry if you stumble over your word. Don't worry if you don't know all the great theological terminology. God would far rather have a few syllables badly put together in poor English than a big lengthy oration which is all of self. Oh, to pray simply with passion, believing in even this little expression, but prayer. Oh, may we have such faith in prayer this night. May the Lord take his word, and may bless it each and every one of our hearts.